This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, here on 93.7 The Ticket from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch. Come join yours truly. You're going to hear Husker sports, college football, and general sports as well. In the meantime, we'll try to give you some unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Right off the top, Carriker's Trivia Challenge. No, Phil Snow is not the most important thing that we're going to talk about to kick off the show. It's Carriker's Trivia Challenge. Call this number. What is that number, Jake?
It will be 402-464-5685.
If you haven't noticed, it never changes. Call that number. Take on yours truly. Jake, what is the topic of today's trivia challenge?
Well, we're getting into the playoffs, so I think some of those teams, I'd look into that.
It's kind of what I figured. All right, Carriker's Trivia Challenge. Call that number. The first person to call in, individual to call in can come on. You get three questions. I get three questions. We have a BS tiebreaker that we're going to change come January, but for now we're stuck with it because I keep forgetting to bring it up to Jake. But if we need it, we got a tiebreaker. All right, the over-under where you get the advantage, but that's okay. I'm, 5-2 so far? 5-2? Not bad.
5-3.
No. I've lost twice. Oh, really? I don't know the wins. I know the losses. It's either 6-2 or 5-2. What is it? Okay. I think you're going to say 3-2, weren't you?
I thought it was 5-3, but it could be 5-2.
I know I have two losses. It's the amount of wins. We're just going to go 9-2 and, don't let facts get in the way of a good story. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, call that number. First person to call in, go mano-e-mano or mano-e-woman, whatever the case may be, versus yours truly. In the meantime, I'm going to shock you with this. We've got a loaded show. All right, Phil Snow. It was just put out by the university. As I was sitting down, I got text messages about it. All right, is officially the associate head coach here at the University of Nebraska. Kind of knew it was going to happen. I thought it was interesting in rules. I think it was his last press conference. I'm pretty sure it was his last one. He had to say, Phil Snow is not officially on staff. But if he were to hire an older individual in that type of role, and then he proceeded to talk about basically Phil Snow without talking about Phil Snow, because that's the way the world works and that's how you have to be. But I do think it's a good hire. When it was announced that he was expected to be the associate head coach at some point, all right, my initial thought was, why do we need an associate head coach? And the more I kind of thought about it, because this was pretty much the same time that John Butler was hired as the DC, although that was official at the time, Terry Bratton at the time. I don't remember if that was official or if that was just an anticipated. I can't keep all this news straight, but I digress. The point is, Terry's the D-line coach. All right, obviously John's the DC, and Mr. Snow, all right, is now the official associate head coach. I'm like, man, we got four potential. Well, if we do add UCF's defensive coordinator, all right, Addison Williams, we would have four potential defensive coordinators in the past, from Matt Rhule to Snow to Butler to Williams, if he does indeed join the staff, on staff, which is a lot. But it does seem like Rhule trusts Butler to be in charge of the defense, so while Rhule is more of a defensive guy, obviously Snow is more of a defensive guy. And just a reminder, everywhere that Matt Rhule's been, Temple, Baylor, Carolina, except Nebraska, he has been Matt Rhule's defensive coordinator at some point. Last year in the Big 12, had the number one defense in the Big 12 at Temple. The defense was the strength of their team. All right, and at Carolina, as god-awful and bad as that team was, they actually had the number two ranked defense. All right, at one point, at the end of, I forget which season it was, during Matt Rhule's tenure there. So always played good defense. So immediately my mind went to, all right, he's going to help with defense. I'm sure he will. I don't think that's his main role, though. There's a reason we have GMs now in college football. Never had one before, till about a year and a half ago when Nebraska hired one. There's a reason that Phil Snow has been brought in as an associate head coach. Because one man cannot do everything anymore. You're no longer running a football program. You're running a business. You're recruiting your own freaking current players and the entire roster, because nobody's committed. I mean, they can come and go basically as they please, at least twice a year, every year. You have to re-recruit your roster every single day. There's no contracts. Like, think about this. If teams start contacting Dylan, come the spring. Matt Rhule's got to re-recruit Dylan in the spring, and then next fall, and then next winter. It just never ends. And that's just one player. And then you got the transfer portal guys coming in and out. I got a list of, like, I don't know, I think about 1,000 guys that are visiting Lincoln this weekend. Okay, a bunch of, we got a big commit as well, and a couple more probably on the way, I might add. So an interesting JUCO rule, which I'm going to get into, that I'm not, I don't know. My initial reaction was great. Now we're going to watch more 28-year-olds play college football. I thought we were finally done with the COVID rules. And I understand why they existed. At a certain point, it gets a little asinine how old some of these players are. And you got a 6th-year and a 7th-year senior, then a medical shirt. And they're like 89 years into the NFL, into their college career. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, when do we get back to normalcy? I thought we were going to start to get there. And now you can basically stash players. If you're a major college football team, like if Nebraska wants to, they can recruit guys, put them 2 years at a JUCO, stash them there, bam, let them develop, bring them into Nebraska, and then you still have 4 years of eligibility. That's what the rule is, in case you didn't know. You can now go to a JUCO, play 1 to 2 years, leave, and still have 4 years of eligibility to play, all right, collegiate football, FBS football, FCS football, whatever the case may be. So that's the new rule. I'm conflicted. Part of me thinks the NCAA just needs to get the hell out of the way, back up, get out, put somebody in charge that knows what they're doing, not the conference commissioners, because they only care about their conference. And how do you get mad at them? That's their job. And right now the landscape is they only need to care about their conference. The Pac-12. Nobody cared about the Pac-12. Look what's going on with them. The ACC. I've had people float rumors my way that North Carolina brought in Bill Belichick. I know I'm all over the place right now. Okay, but that's okay. I've had so many things come at me. When I don't do a Wednesday show, I basically have like 48 hours worth of stuff that's been built up that comes out on Thursday. You can only imagine what my Monday notes look like, by the way. But somebody was like, hey, what do you think of this? Because there's been a bunch of people with this train of thought. When it comes to North Carolina hiring Bill Belichick, they let go of Mac Brown because he was too old, and then they brought in 72-year-old Bill Belichick, by the way. But he is Bill Belichick. But they're like, North Carolina sees the writing on the wall with the ACC. And football is the driving force. North Carolina's got one of the top baseball programs in the country. We all know about Carolina basketball. But football is the driving force. Now, North Carolina as a brand is probably the most single attractive entity that the ACC has. There's a lot of thoughts that the Big Ten and SEC aren't even that interested in Florida State, Clemson. There is interest in Virginia. Like, with Florida State, Clemson, I'm surprised to hear that. I do need it confirmed by more people than I've heard it from. But I know there's interest in Virginia, but North Carolina is like the number one brand. But if you're Carolina and your football team is struggling, football is the driving force. You bring in a guy like Bill Belichick, knowing the landscape of football is changing. And all of a sudden, you don't have to win 11, 12 games. You're Carolina. That's not the expectations. Can you win 8, 9, 10? All of a sudden, everything that is valued by the Big Ten and SEC, which I do believe Carolina is going to end up at one of those two conferences in the next 3 or 4 years, now your value goes through the roof. And the amount of money that they can try to entice you to come to the conference with goes through the roof. With a guy like Bill Belichick and just winning 8, 9, or 10 games, you don't even have to compete for championships at this point. You've already got the brand, but you need to be as attractive as possible. And that's why they hired Bill Belichick. Also, Belichick's dad coached there. I mean, North Carolina kind of was the college of his youth, even though he's never coached college football in his career. So there are ties beyond that to Carolina. But going back to Snow, again, I've been all over the place. So far this show, it's going to be a fun show. Loaded, as always. My thought is, Matt Rhule's like, who's my most trusted, I don't want to say confidant, but like coach he's had over the years? It's got to be Phil Snow. He's got to be up there as much as anybody, if not more. Basically, Phil Snow's being brought in to help Matt Rhule do his job, which is no longer just being a football coach. It's no longer even just running a business. It's being a full-time, nonstop, never-ending recruiter, evaluator, right? Running a business. It is. Then you got to – actually, we got a bowl game coming up. Jake, did you forget about the bowl game coming up?
I think that's in the back of my mind.
It's like in the way back of my mind. I saw a prediction video the other day, and I was like, oh, crap. I need to talk about that bowl game at some point. Like, you got all these things – that are going on, that is why Phil Snow is here. And that's basically essentially what Matt Rhule said, which kind of confirmed what I had been thinking at the time, all right, in his last press conference. So let's get to some of these other things here. Now, how do you pronounce this individual's first name? So it's Hunter. Is it Nyjah Hunter? Jake, is that how you say that? The wide receiver along with Dane Key that's here?
Yeah, I can't confirm. That'd be my best guess.
I'm pretty sure it's Nyjah Hunter and Dane Key. I mean, it's been pretty much confirmed that they are the top two wide receiver portal targets. They're in Lincoln, going to be in Lincoln, okay, in the next few days here as well. And let me get back on track here. Kind of lost my spot in my notes. All right. Oh, yeah, big commitment. So those are the top two targets for Nebraska right now, those two wide receivers. And they're both really good players. I've talked about Dane Key several times. Hunter has become, I mean, he's one of the top wide receivers in the portal right now as well. 40 catches, 578 yards, and 5 TDs in his freshman season, this past season, which is still going on, so it's weird to say, but in his first season, which was at Cal for him. So he's a young guy who's played a lot, got a lot of ball left to play in his future. All right, Mississippi State transfer defensive lineman Gabe Moore has committed to Nebraska as of just, I don't know, maybe 2 hours ago. 6'4", 290 pounds, with 4 seasons of eligibility left. All right, he's a freshman. His senior stats in high school, because again, he redshirted last year. 39 tackles for loss, 116 tackles, 12 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, and 2 pass breakups. Not many linemen have PBUs. I think I had one in my entire collegiate career. But this is an individual who, he's not going to fit the mold of someone who's played a lot of ball, of someone who is proven already. He was one of the top 100 defensive linemen in the country coming out of high school. He's going to fit the mold of someone who's a little bit more unproven, but has a lot of potential and a high ceiling. Does Matt Rhule have time to wait for him to develop? How quickly will he be ready to play? How much of an impact can he make right out the gate? And if he can't do it right away, how long do we have to wait for someone like this to contribute? And you start to look at our defensive line, our pass rushers, because that was the big concern. A lot of the guys who've hit the portal, a lot of the guys who are gone are on defense, especially D-line. James Williams, as I mentioned the other day, just committed to Florida State. A lot of them are linebacker, edge rusher types. So we bring in Williams and Ware, a guy who just redshirted. You talk about him. You talk about Gabe. You talk about talented guys who are relatively unproven. How much can Rhule and his staff get out of them? And how soon can they get that aforementioned talent to develop and get it out of them? And how long does Rhule have to do this? College football is different. The expectations, the patience level is different than it used to be. All right. Unfortunately, I wish him all the best, but Isaiah World has committed to Oregon. So wish him the best. We have also offered UCLA portal DB Jalen Davies, 40 career games he's played in, 108 tackles, 4 interceptions. So there's all sorts of offers that have gone out. Now, when I talk about Gabe coming, when I talk about the receivers that I've talked about, I know that at this moment in time, and again, you can just wait 5 minutes and things change, but Nebraska has a real chance to get the number one edge rusher in the transfer portal right now, Patrick Payton. All right, he has multiple ties to Nebraska's football program. He originally committed to Nebraska in 2022. All right, and obviously, coming from Florida State is where he's from, Phil Simpson. He's got a lot of ties to Phil Simpson, who is now here at Nebraska, who's an elite recruiter. So if we could get, you talk about Williams and Ware, a young player, but a lot of talent. He's got the talent to help contribute right away if Rhule and his staff can get it out of him. Patrick Payton, all of a sudden, this is the number one edge rusher in the portal right now. You got 2 edge rushers coming off the edge. Okay. And then you've got some of the D linemen that we currently have. You add Gabe to the mix. We added another one earlier this week. So talk to me currently, Jake, about the D linemen, the linebackers, the edge rushers. Just start listing them off to me from Riley Van Poppel to Elijah Judy, but I don't want to leave anybody out because I feel a lot better than I did. Now, a lot of these guys are relatively unproven. All right, other than Payton, so to speak. But it's hard not to look at this and be like, they're young, they're talented, there's 1 or 2 proven guys, but there's guys with ability, plus the freshmen that are coming in. When you look at Dawson Merritt, you look at Christian Jones, who is the Butkus Award winner, not just for Nebraska, but in the entire country, the top high school linebacker in the entire country.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It's crazy because so much young talent is now on the front seven that is so unproven. So, Jake, list everybody off, all right? And then I want to chat with you about how we now currently feel about our front seven on defense. So, what are the names?
So we'll start with the defensive line. Soa Lafotu, Riley Van Poppel, Cam Linhart, Elijah Judy, Mason Goldman, a couple guys that transferred, Dylan Parrott, Connor Keneally, David Borkers, Leslie Black, Ashton Murphy, Keona Davis returned, David Hofkin. So that's your defensive line.
Forgot about Davis. See, that's why I wanted you to list them off. I didn't want to forget somebody. There's a lot of talented guys right there when you consider the, let's say we get, and I'm just kind of saying, let's say we get Peyton, and maybe we don't. I know he's leaning towards Nebraska right now. That is what I know. I've had too many people in the know who have confirmed that with me. So you got Gabe. Let's say Peyton comes. Maybe he doesn't. But let's say he does. Add him to the list. How do you feel about the talent, youth, inexperience, but the ability of the front seven now?
I think that's what they need. I think they need an edge rusher to complement some of the kind of the big guys that they have inside. But yeah, I mean that's been a concern for years. Nebraska finally felt like, I mean, they did all right in sacks the last couple of years. But you know, they just lost so much from the edge rush position this year in the portal.
So last year, Cam Linhart, did you say him?
Yep.
Okay. See, this is why I want you to list them all off. So for me, I see a huge upside. I see a lot of unproven players, but I see a huge upside here. Last year, I anticipated the defensive line being the strength of the entire team. I do believe that Nash Huttmaker doing wrestling last winter, as awesome as that story was, okay, he had to lose a bunch of weight. He had to put on a bunch of weight. Ladies and gentlemen, I have put on 100 pounds in my life, 225 to 325 from my senior high school to my highest one-point day in D.C., all the way back down to 225. When that day hit, I went to Dunkin' Donuts, ate a dozen donuts. It wasn't my fault. I was only supposed to eat 6, Jake, and then my family didn't come home for 2 hours, and they just looked so good. But I am now about 270, okay-ish, give or take. I know what it's like to put on weight, try to do it the right way, take it off. And then he never really got an off season because you want to talk about a physical sport as wrestling. Then he never got a winter conditioning. I love the story. But I feel like it hindered his ability to play at his height this year, what he could have been this year. So we were going to rely on Huttmaker. We were going to rely on Robinson. And Huttmaker played fine. He wasn't as consistent, but ended up being just Robinson that we really relied on. Jamari did fine at times. Cam did fine at times. But nobody else really stood out. I actually felt like the D-line probably played consistently better the year before when they were basically all unproven except for Ty Robinson. This kind of reminds me of 2 years ago. With some names that we know and have seen the field a little bit and a lot of unproven names with talent. Now, will we get the same results as far as 2 years ago? Don't know. I would love Williams and Ware, okay, the Florida State linebacker, Peyton, if he does come to get more pressure off the edge. I think that that would be a big difference maker that we've not had consistently along with being able to stop the run. Now, there's a million guys who visited, who are visiting. We brought in Jack McAllister, all right, who's started for 3 years as a punter. You probably all heard about him. Kevin's long-lost brother. All right, I believe he averaged like 44 yards per punt, and now he's here. We brought in a long snapper, so hopefully a lot of our special teams concerns At some point, we got to talk about Ed Foley and what should or should not happen there. But we'll get to that. A lot of news in the meantime. Hopefully, that's been helped and upgraded. You got guys like Barney and Lloyd and some of these other individuals who can return kicks. So, and we have our kicker back. So hopefully, special teams is going to be better next year. Again, we'll address the coordinator thing at some point, probably sooner rather than later. But we'll see what happens. Did he do enough to keep his job? Yes or no? I had one person look at me and say yes until we missed the field goal with a bad snap against Iowa. And then the answer is literally no. Like literally one play in this person's mind switched it to no. And then I've had other people say yes. And I've had other people honestly laugh that I even posed the question. Okay, but we'll get there. There's been a ton of other visitors. All right. One of note, four-star edge, Samuel Mpemba. I hope I said that right. 6'3", 6'3 and a half, 240 pounds out of Georgia. A young player, explosive off the edge if you watch his film. Hey, Jake. Do you think LeBron James is hanging out with Ellen DeGeneres right now? All right, let's get back to Husker football, ladies and gentlemen. So, big court ruling when it comes to JUCOs. And I was chatting, I'm sure Terrell Farley talked about it on his show. I didn't get to hear the captain today, but check it out when you get a chance. But I was chatting with him beforehand. I was like, do you like this ruling where you can go to JUCO for 2 years and then you still have 4 years of eligibility? He goes, I loved it. He goes, I would have loved to have had 4 years of eligibility at Nebraska. For me, and then I'm like, okay. And Jake can vouch for me. I literally, have we had a caller, by the way?
Not yet.
Okay, call in for Carrick's Trivia Challenge. All right, take on yours truly. What is that number there, Jake?
402-464-5685.
All right. And I go, but is it best for college football? And that's when Terrell paused and he goes, I don't know. Every rule change that happens, there's pluses, there's minuses. The first one that stuck out to me, the first thing that stuck out to me years ago was Christian McCaffrey sitting out of the bowl game. The first player that I can remember to sit out of a bowl game. Right, we eventually had a player here at Nebraska sit out of the last game of the season. Luckily, that didn't catch on. And I remember, who was the South Carolina DN that was the number one pick?
Jadeveon Clowney.
That was, talks he was going to sit out his entire junior season. And I hated everything about that. But the next big rule change that stuck out to me was you could play four games and still redshirt. I see pluses and minuses to that. I don't see a whole lot of gigantic negatives there. Then you start to see NIL and the transfer portal. I mean, athletes were not being compensated fairly for the amount of money that the universities were making. The way it is right now cannot be a sustainable model. It just is not a sustainable model. College football is a business. The powers that be at some point are going to say, you know what? We need to put a salary cap because that's how we're going to spend less money. We're going to put a limit on the amount of money that we can spend. Okay, these kids are constantly jumping in and out of the portal. Well, every time you go in, you're trying to get more money. So we're going to limit that, aka a contract. I believe these things are coming at some point, but right now it is. I've said it before. It's the insane wild, wild west. Some of these things have helped. Some of these things, I believe, have been more detrimental to the sport than they've helped. With the JUCO, you can play 2 years, 1 year, and still have 4 years of eligibility. I see pluses. You know, individuals who get overlooked coming out of high school, all of a sudden they're going to get more years if they go prove themselves at the JUCO level. All right, they're going to get more opportunities once they do get to major college football or wherever they end up playing. That's a positive. A negative is you're going to see teams that are going to be like, hey, we're going to start stacking this JUCO team, or we're going to make it a farm team. And we're going to, I don't want to say cheat the system, but they're going to use the system. Not as it was intended. I'm tired of seeing 26, 27-year-olds that play college football for like their seventh or eighth season. You know, for me, I don't know that that's great. I don't know it's a bad thing. They get to play more. But how does that affect kids coming out of high school? How does that affect the ricochet effect, the trickle-down effect of everything? With his JUCO ruling, I'm not a gigantic fan of it because I think it's going to be used and abused until they put more parameters on it. I think right out the gate, that's my initial reaction. You got any thoughts there, Jake?
No, I was trying. I was rolling through, getting this game show ready. Sorry.
No, you're good. All right. Let's see what else we got here. I know we're up against a break coming soon. The Wake Forest, I mean, there's a bunch of visitors coming in. I'm trying to pick out the ones that stand out the most. Wake Forest offensive lineman Keegan Trost. All right. He is in Lincoln today. 6'4", 305 pounds. Started for Wake Forest. Played 766 snaps this past year. I do believe snaps is a stat, just saying. All right, here's, if you're Washington State, I'm just, how many teams do they have in that supposed Pac-12? Seven, six, five? Is it still really just two, actually?
I think right now it's two.
It's just two? They have no head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, running backs coach, and they have 22 players in the transfer portal right now, including 10 starters. Goodness gracious. That's just craziness to me. All right. Couple of things real quick. I thought this was interesting. So there was an unconfirmed report that if Dylan entered the portal, like he could command 10, 12, 13 millions in the million dollars in the portal. Obviously, he's back at Nebraska. But Ryan, I bring that up because Ryan Williams, the 17-year-old phenom from Alabama, who they were talking about all offseason, and for people at Alabama to talk about a true freshman, let alone a 17-year-old, he skipped his senior year of high school. He should be in high school right now. And he was by far their best receiver, has entered the portal. And I'm just like, what type of money can that guy get? I mean, I'm just, what type of money could he get? I mean, obviously it'd be awesome if he came to Nebraska. But for me, just the thought of guys like that entering the portal, the type of money that they can make is crazy to me. All right, when you think about total amount of players in the transfer portal right now, you look at the Big Ten, Purdue's got 26 the most. That's going to happen when you win one game. Nebraska's at 23 right now. Wisconsin 17. UCLA, USC, Washington 16. Michigan 15. Maryland 14. Illinois 12. Iowa, Michigan State also at 12. Rutgers actually has the least amount with 3. Here was something I thought was interesting, though. And I'm going to give a final thought on the Heisman thing, because I think this confirmed why I would have voted for Hunter. And I did not plan on talking about this until I came across this stat comparing Ashton Jeanty to Melvin Gordon, who did not win the Heisman. But before I get to that, all right, lost my thought here. Yeah, I completely lost my thought. So here's what we're going to do. I'm actually going to give my final thought on the Heisman thing. All right. So some people have said, did Boise State, not Boise, but playing at a G5, because Boise State, of all the G5 teams, they've got the biggest brand. I mean, BYU is a power team now. Cincinnati, Memphis, USC, they're all in, I say power conference. I use that term loosely, but they're in the Big 12, which is, you know, a power conference, I guess. Boise, of all the G5 teams, has by far the biggest brand. I mean, you could say Army, Navy, just over the years, recognizability, but as far as, hey, that team's pretty good at football, it's Boise. So when people ask, did Boise cost Ashton Jeanty the Heisman? I don't think so. It's the G5. It's who did he play? Who did he do it against? So when you compare, and to be clear, Ashton Jeanty, I'll said it before and I'll say it again, could have won the Heisman. I would not have been one bit upset about that. But this was sent to me. Melvin Gordon, who did not win the Heisman in 2014, obviously played for Wisconsin. 343 carries, which is one less than Jeanty, who had 344. 2,587 rush yards, which is actually more than Jeanty had at 2,497. And again, Jeanty had a phenomenal season. Let me be clear. All right, Jeanty, 7.3 yards per carry. Gordon, 7.5. Touchdowns, 29 for Jeanty, 29 for Gordon. Catches, 19 for Gordon, 20 for Jeanty. Receiving yards, Gordon had more, 153. Jeanty had 116. And receiving touchdowns, 3. To one touchdown for Jeanty. So Gordon's stats are just a smidge better, just like a sliver, a hair better than Jeanty. And obviously Gordon did it at Wisconsin, which has a Heisman Trophy winning running back in Ron Dayne in a big time actual power conference. And it was a little bit different back then, but a power conference in the Big Ten, and he did not win the Heisman. Now, had Jeanty won it, would I have been, hey man, you deserve it, no problem. Absolutely. I'm just saying, when you compare these stats, and you compare Gordon, was it just a smidge better against tougher competition, and he didn't win it? I mean, you could argue he could have won it. Mariota won it that year. I thought Mariota had a great year. Gordon could have won it that year. He didn't. To me, it makes it like, all right, I look at Travis Hunter, and he legit just did something we've never seen before, and I don't know when we'll see it again. And for me, that's kind of my final thought on the Heisman. You got anything else? And does that change your mind at all, Jay? Because I know you were kind of leaning Jeanty a little bit.
Well, not really, because I think Melvin Gordon should have won that Heisman.
Oh, so that strengthens your argument for Jeanty, or is it just keep it the same?
I think it's about the same. Like I said, I would have went with Jeanty, and I think running backs, you know, we talk about all the snaps that they have. He still didn't touch the ball near as much as Jeanty. So So we talk about affecting the game, and certainly playing cornerback, you affect the game without touching the ball. But I thought that should have been factored in a little bit more, is that Genty touched the ball like 150 more times or whatever it was.
So I will stand firm with what I've said all along. Either one of these guys would win it 9 out of 10 other years. Obviously, Genty wouldn't have won it in 2014 because Mariota beat Gordon and everything I just went through. The only thing this does, instead of me being like, I don't know, whatever I was, 52 Hunter, 48% of me would have voted for Genty. I'm probably like 60-40 Hunter versus Genty now. But again, either guy could have won it and I'd have been all right with that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, do we have a caller?
No, we need one.
All right, call in. Carriker's Trivia Challenge. The first person to call in, we will bring you on in. You get 3 questions, I get 3. And also, you get to win a prize, so that's always fun. All right, give him that number, Jake, and then we'll head out to commercial.
402-464-5685.
Send summer out with a sizzle during the Omaha Steaks Labor Day Sale. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, juicy air-chilled chicken, beefy burgers, deli-style franks, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code FALLFLAVOR at omahasteaks.com today. Don't wait. Save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Labor Day Sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code FALLFLAVOR. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.